Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. Headline this week, Chelsea storm to win against Benfica. Today I'm joined by my good friend Brady. How you doing, Brady?
Well, we just had a few issues on Discord trying to get the pod going. There's a few issues in the game, trying to get it finished. I'm still expecting my I Stay to a 2 a.m. BST t-shirt from the club, but it hasn't arrived yet. But it was kind of like, I don't remember the old Tromso game in 97, I think that was, where Chelsea played in the snow. I think it'd be similar to that, kind of like a very unique kind of quiz question-y Chelsea game. It was very odd.
Yeah, the actual game length was 4 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah, it's like NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. If NFL had thunder and lightning halfway through. Game actually went on. I mean, we talk about the game. Game went on 85 minutes it got to before it was called off, and then it was delayed. It has to delay by at least 30 minutes, and then they review it, and it kept getting delayed. I mean, I went to sleep.
8 mile radius, apparently. So if there's any, I mean, I listened to the London Blue Pod. I mean, they're American, obviously. And they were saying, you know, it's no joke, these thunderstorms, but I don't know. I mean, obviously you want to keep people safe, but it did seem, I mean, obviously Maresca, was absolutely irate. You very rarely see him like that. He kind of had the red mist, very unusual for him. But yeah, it was a very odd situation.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got plenty to talk through today. But we're going to start with the game. There's been some transfers as well. We'll start with the game. So Chelsea, obviously, in the end, ran out 4-1 winners against Benfica after extra time. Benfica down to 10 men as well, so they had a red card. But in normal time, it was 1-0 to Chelsea for a long time until the 90th plus 5 minute, where Gusto was adjudged to have handballed it, and Di Maria scored. Goal, obviously, in normal time for Chelsea coming from Reece James. Amazing free kick. And then Nkunku, Neto, Dewsbury Hall took the game away from Benfica in extra time and saw a 4-1 win. Expected goals, 2.69 for Chelsea, 1.2 for Benfica, 22 shots, 12 on target for Chelsea. And yeah, it was an odd game, but it was obviously, if we talk about the lineup first and your likes and dislikes, what can you give me from the game?
In terms of likes and dislikes?
Yeah.
I mean, likes, I think you can see that the team super glue is there, it's glued. I mean, the team bond is there, right? I mean, you've got Maresca doing a Tuchel impression down the line. Everyone jumping on Nkunku, who's probably going to be leaving. I don't think some of his teammates always love playing with him, from the body language that I have seen throughout the season. This team care. They really care. And it just shows you what having a manager for a second season can do. Rather than cutting the connection short, you just let the relationship develop, you let the roots kind of grow stronger into the ground, and that's what you get. And it's not nothing, that. I mean, it won't win you things, just that. You obviously get a lot more than that, but it's a big part of it. The team being bonded and together, and the manager kind of having the respect to the players is a great thing.
Yeah, it does seem to have paid off, doesn't it? The sort of trust they put in Maresca, obviously backing him in the transfers too now. I think, look, like for me from this game was the setup of the team and the team selection. For the most part, but for me, I mentioned in the last pod that I really liked the setup against LAFC in the first half. Caicedo, Lavia marshalling a back four of sort of James Cucurella, Colwell plus another, and Sanchez in goal. Obviously, that's what he went for, and I think it worked really well.
Yeah,
I think for 85 minutes while Reece James and Lavia on the pitch, it was as solid as a rock. I mean, Benfica were basically doing nothing. They were getting tackled. Caicedo and Lavia were just dominating the game. Reece James, Cucurella, outstanding. Badiashile was doing his best to give him goals, and Sanchez, but I think overall it was a really solid performance, and I really like this base we're building from, and you can see now in the market we're trying to do the attacking changes, because it's hopeless without new signings, I think, at the moment. So yeah, it's good base to build from. Like the team, like the setup. Looking forward to seeing what we're going to do next, really.
I do want to counter a little bit of the setup. I think you're right in terms of Javier Caicedo, excellent, and Reece James was really good, and the base was good. I think the structure of the attack was wrong. I don't want the Cole Palmer hugging left wing, and I know that Mark Cucurella did well in the game, but you don't want Mark Cucurella hugging all the XG. I think he had more than 2/3 of our XG in the first half, and look, he was unlucky. I mean, he's actually getting a lot better in front of goal, clearly, because he got, I think 7 league goals last year, 6 league goals, and some really important goals. But you don't really want Mark Cucurella kind of... The attack was all feeding to him. I think they have to decide what they're going to do with Enzo Fernandez. You can't have him in a 10, which he basically was in this game. Right 10, left 10, whatever 10. He shouldn't play there. So I think you've either got to put Caicedo in there right back and then put Lavia and Enzo in there. Or Enzo's got to go, I think. Or start from the bench and then come on for Lavia, because you need full-blooded attackers on the bench. I mean, we're just recruited. We'll talk about it later. João Pedro, Jamie Gittins. You can't have Enzo Fernandez taking up one of the front four spaces. It just won't work for the squad. You need Palmer in a 10, and you need a winger on the left, because they just recruited two players there. So I think I agree that there was good elements, but I think the attack, you know, I know you said it, you know, we need to go into the market. I'm not quite sure about that, because obviously we've gone into the market already, but I think just sometimes in terms of the setup, he's just kind of trying to experiment a bit too much for me. And it was, you know, we dominated the game and controlled it, but I feel like attacking wise, it could have been quite a lot better, actually.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is down to individuals. I actually don't think that Enzo was, I agree. I think Enzo in this 10 role, wherever he's playing, he's absolutely hopeless.
You just have to put Palmer in a 10 and then Madueke left wing, or, you know, if you don't want Madueke, you know, there's rumours he obviously might be leaving.
Maybe he's on a plane, mate.
You put Gittins or João Pedro there, and I don't get this. He can't play Lavia, Caicedo and Fernandez if Fernandez is going to be in a 10 and he's going to double 6. It doesn't work. Yeah, for me, it just doesn't work. He's an 8. So he plays with Caicedo, and, you know, Reece James comes in and it comes in as a 6, inverts as a 6, and then Enzo's behind as an 8, and then you've got the Palmer in front of it, and that's how it works for me. Actually, interesting stat I got from straight out of Common Podcast, I think from The Athletic. This is the first time ever that Reece James, Moises Caicedo, Lavia, Enzo Fernandez and Palmer have all started together, ever. So,
wow.
Like in their whole Chelsea, that whole contingent. So a lot of people would say that those five are like the spine of the team, and they've never, ever started together. So it just shows you, I mean, it's an incredible stat, really.
That is incredible, yeah.
Yeah, it just shows you, you know, if you get a spine, if you get a kind of a nexus of the team, a kind of something to build around, it's very good. But I think with Fernandez, you've got to decide what to do with him. I think it's going to be really important this year how they balance this Caicedo, Lavia, Enzo, where they play them, because they've got a lot of attackers, and, you know, they're on about 9 attackers. You can't put Enzo Fernandez in the 10, I'm afraid. This doesn't really work.
Yeah, and I think my dislike for the game was Enzo Fernandez in that 10 role, really,
yeah,
and selecting him, although he's a very good footballer, Fernandez, as we know. He has limitations in his game. And one of the limitations is the 10 role in this team, for me, is the most important role in the entire team, because it's going to link the defensive element of the team, which is really tight and really strong, in my opinion, and I wouldn't change it, apart from the goalie and the centre-back, to the attack. And what I noticed and what I talked about last week on the pod was Palmer receiving the ball with his back to goal and struggling quite heavily. Even in this game where he's out wide, he can see he's a lot more time on the ball, a lot more open with his body, and he can take stuff on and he can looks more comfortable. But we need someone on in the pitch who can receive the ball there with someone on, you know, coming up behind them on their back and they're pushing them. They need to be able to control the ball, link up with midfield, and also get in the box and be creative. It's such a hard role. You think of people like Wirtz, De Bruyne, you know, those are the sort of moulds that you're looking for. Obviously, Liverpool have signed Wirtz, and I think he'll be a really good player for them in that sort of area if he plays there. But for us, we don't really have that person. Now, Palmer kind of can do that, but I think Palmer drops way too deep, which removes him from that central area. You need someone who's really comfortable playing in there. Whether that's going to be Pedro or not, I don't know, but Nkunku is, for me, the next best option from the actual players we've got available previously. Obviously, that will change if he's registered in time for the weekend. But I think it's a big area of... It's going to make a big difference to us. And I think at the moment it's unsolved. And I think the fact he's playing Palmer out on the wings would suggest to me he feels very similarly in that
area. Yeah, I just don't think... I know I kind of get your point, but I just... For me, he's got to put Palmer in a 10. I mean, Palmer's goals are really dried up, which is... I mean, he has completely lost his scoring touch, which is really worrying. He's ticking over with assists. You know, I'm big FPL, like FPL. I mean, I'm not sure I'll be able to get Palmer in a team in the FPL, which is crazy when you look at our fixtures. I'd be interested in the 10 because Palmer's actually... The thing that's different this season is Palmer actually has some competition in the 10 this time. You know, it's really been Cole Palmer and the idiots for a couple of years, maybe not so much last year, but definitely under Poch, it was his team, right? Like, as soon as he scored that goal against Burnley, he was a big dog. Not that I think he really displayed himself as that. I think he'd been quite humble about it, but he was a big dog. He was the main player. But now, you know, I'm not saying you see Cole Palmer getting dropped, but there are other options now where you could play Pedro in the 10. I think Nkunku will leave. But you could play Pedro in the 10, Estevao William. You could play other players in there. It's going to be interesting how they mix it up, but I don't want Cole Palmer. There's a lot of people saying Palmer played well on the left wing. He'll play well anywhere, really. But he's just best in that pressing role in the 10 for me. And you've got to try him there. And then if it doesn't work, you go with something else. And mainly, like I said before, we just bought two left-sided players. You can't really be putting Cole Palmer on the left. It doesn't work. It doesn't really work for squad dynamic and minutes and things like that. So that's the way I see it.
I think he'll push Palmer back into the 10 if Caicedo and if it's an Enzo and Caicedo or Lavia.
Well, if you think of it this way, I'd actually think about it this way.
Because of the build-up issue that we have without both of them playing.
If you think about the 9, so at the moment, at 9, we've got Delap and Jackson, right? And on the left, you've got, I think Tyree George will probably be loaned, I think, or they look to loan him, I think, which I think would be good for his development. So on the left, you've got, let's put João Pedro on the left for now. So you've got João Pedro and Gittins on the left. That's two options at 9, two options at left wing. I suppose in 10, you could have Willian, Estevao, and Palmer, that's two. And on the right, Nonny and Neto. Now, if Nonny goes, maybe they'll go for a Kudus, and then he can be the right wing player as well. But that's two players in each slot, really. So.
We've got Estevao as well.
Sorry?
But Estevao and.
Estevao, I'll put in a 10.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'll put in a 10. He's a backup 10 for Palmer. So. It's actually two players for each slot. I haven't counted Nkunku because
I'm assuming... Would you put him as a 10, though? He plays on the right for Palmeiras.
I think he's toted to want to play 10, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's been a few things where he's... I think Matt Law reported he actually prefers playing 10.
Well, everyone prefers doing lots of... I've only watched him for Palmeiras, so I don't know. Maybe there's more to his game. He looks more like a touchline. Yeah, but we'll see. Maybe
he's a young kid. I know he's got a lot of talent. Yeah. We don't really need to prioritise his preferences at the moment, do we?
He'll be one for the Carabao Cup, won't he?
Yeah. Maybe some Champions League, like if we're already through. I mean, that doesn't really happen in the group stages anymore. But I mean, Neto with his performances, he's got right wing locked down, and then Gittins will probably be left winger, and then Pedro and Palmer competing for the 10. I'm not sure, but I think Pedro will want more of a role than that. Then there's a lot of moving pieces. Obviously, Pedro can play 9. Jackson can technically play on the left sometimes. I was talking to him about that, and sometimes he can play on that. He's not the same player as Mane, but he can play on that left 10 role. He did that under Emery pretty well. So yeah. We've got a lot of moving pieces that can work. So they've got a lot of options. It just depends. Got a good attacking unit now. I wouldn't say an elite one, but a very solid one now. And I just think Maresca's got a, like you say, we don't have injuries, then the base is going to be very good. But we also need to, like you said recently, we need to score 15, 20 more goals in the league already. So,
well, we've got to put teams away.
Definitely.
But yeah, let's talk about the players in the game. Let's do temperatures.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Is it me first?
It must be you first, surely.
I feel bad for this one, but it was a really, really poor performance. It's Liam Delap.
The new number nine.
The freezer. I mean, last time we were saying after that goal against, I can't remember the team, ES Tunis, that he might be the answer. I mean, the equals sign got rubbed out, I think, and I think it's the answer. It's still the question, I think. I've still more questions than answers. I mean, he literally asked Reece James for a 9-iron before he chipped that through ball when he was through on goal. I mean, his first half performance, I don't like to say, it's one of the worst performances I've seen from an attacker in ages. I mean, everything he did was wrong. He barely got any touches, but he was mistiming runs. He miscontrolled it. He did that awful through and go a couple of times and he made completely the wrong option. Didn't really have a shot, wasn't really involved. I think a little bit of Delap as well. And look, in the second half, he did show some good composure to put it in. I mean, he did the classic offside thing. Now, they all do that. Werner, Jackson, Delap. When they're offside, they absolutely bang it. that always happens. It's like Chelsea.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, every time. I don't know. It's like a mental release. With like
Werner was the best. Werner used to just score the best goals offside.
It's almost like a mental free roll in their head. They're like, well, I might be offside, so I can just try something. Or I don't know. It's weird. There is something to it. It's like weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was poor to that. And I think a little bit, I mean, this game was, I mean, I think Palmeiras is going to be the same. I think they're going to kick us all over the shop. And there was a little bit of that in this game where they were kicking people and probably some, let's call the cricket term, sledging, probably some words in the ears and little elbows in the kidneys. But he does play up to it a bit too much, I think. I mean, it's really good to have someone getting around. But just like Costa, he you know, Costa would have the finish but then also do the other side of it. If you're not finishing it and you're not playing that well, but you're just sort of just like getting involved and having a row, that's not great. So yeah, his stats were not existent in his game barely. I think he had 17 touches, just 75 minutes or whatever it was, just not a good start for him. And yeah, I think Nick Jackson's back next game, so a little controversial comment. But he was poor. Well,
is he actually back? Oh my goodness!
So Jackson's available. I don't think that's all. I think it's good. I don't think you can have Delap playing every game. I mean, look, however you look at it, you can't have Liam Delap. Let's say we can make it to the final. And looking at the route, obviously the results have gone through. They're more favourable now for Chelsea. But you can't see Delap playing three games in a row to the final. We just, you know, he's just been bought
in. I think the thing is that he has to play the first Premier League game of the season. So the more he plays with the team, the better. So I do think he'll start the games because of that.
He still looks a little bit like maybe he needs like chopped up minutes. And I don't think you chuck him in 90-90-90. I don't think that's right.
I think he'll put him on. I think the more that he plays, the better. We have to beat Palace at home first game day. So I know it doesn't feel like pre-season, but, you know, it's July. It is.
Yeah, I mean, we're like third favourites now. So, you know, you got to think about how you're going to win this thing. And yeah, I mean, I know people don't like Jackson, but you got Jackson available for the rest of the tournament. I mean, the minutes will be shared, so.
I don't think he's owed any starts after his red card, to be honest with you.
I'm not saying owed a start, but I mean, Delap was absolutely diabolical in this game. I mean, to be quite frank,
he was awful. He was my freezer as well.
If it was Jackson dropping that stinker, it'd be all over X. I mean, it just,
well, that's because it's like we've seen about 100 of them.
He was poor. He was poor, Delap, and I think he showed that. I mean, like I said, he was injured for a lot of the second half of last season. Maybe that adrenaline of getting to the club and he's actually had to settle in now and it's getting real for him or whatever, but he was poor. So if he plays against Palmeiras and we go through, you have to drop him, and he was poor.
Yeah, I think he was my freeze too. I think the issue I found with him was so many ball losses. Just when he's receiving, so if he's central and he's, you know, in sort of in the lines between the defence and midfield, and what we're doing is we're building from the back, and when we're doing that, we obviously go to a five with three at the back and two in midfield, Caicedo, Lavia, and then Cucurella is pushing up round. You know, he's almost in the attacking five at this point. Because we're so wide on the front and he's in the middle, Delap, when you play the ball into him and he loses it with Caicedo and Lavia slightly split, we really look quite, you know, not massively vulnerable, but it's a really big issue for the team. Like, losing the ball out wide is less of a problem because they're not covering the width. They're compact. They're quite central. So if you lose it in the middle of the pitch, it's really, really bad. And he was doing it all the time. So many times the ball go into him and he bad touch, lose the ball. You know, he got muscled a few times. He had no ground duels he won in the game. And he didn't win any aerial duels either. So he really has to improve in this area because we can't play if someone can't do that. And we've seen Jackson do quite well in this area sometimes where he can get the ball and he can do, you know, a quick trick with his quick feet. Obviously, you know, historically he's then sort of tried to dribble past everyone. But I think where we need to work on Delap is that sort of being stronger on the ball in those areas when it's into feet and taking a touch inside. Winning free kicks can also help. But he's got to get the ball and then either play it back or play it wide. He can't dilly-dally and lose it because that's a big problem for us. So really bad performance and, yeah, big area of concern already for him, which is a massive, you know, it's going to be the entire game for him is keeping the ball there. So if he can't do that, he's fairly useless for us. So see how he gets on the weekend.
I said that repeatedly, was shouting at him to come to show defeat, to run beyond, and he wasn't doing it really, or he wasn't doing what they wanted. And when you got senior players already shouting at you to do things, I mean, they're going to do that obviously because he's young. But yeah, he's not the finished article. We just got two strikers that are still very raw in different stages. Jackson probably a bit less raw now. But yeah, here's what it is.
Yeah, we'll see if we see what happens for the rest of the window as well. But yeah, worrying performance from Delap.
How many league goals do you think Delap's going to get this season?
Well, I mean, I think we'll get 15. But I don't. Assuming that we don't buy like a sort of top tier striker who's going to play ahead of him.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me. I don't mind him getting 15 goals.
I think 15 might be a bit higher, but we'll see. I mean, if you've got 15, that'd be amazing, to be honest. But I think
his finishing is too good. I mean, Jackson easily got 15 if he didn't miss all those open goals. I mean, his big chance misses, Jackson, are absolutely insane. I think there was a stat in the first season under Pochettino where we were really low down in the league, and it said if Jackson was an average striker, so not even like a good one, just an average one, Chelsea would have been fourth and they were about 12th.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Delap's an average finisher, that's more than adequate. And we'll be where we, you know, where I think a lot of people suspect Chelsea will be, which would be around the sort of top four, top five area. So I think 15 goals isn't a big ask in a team like Chelsea where the big chance creation is so high. So.
Yeah. Do you know who's top for big chances missed last season in the Premier League? He's basically top every season.
Is it Jackson?
No, Jackson's fifth.
Big chances missed. Oh, is it Nunez?
No.
Is it Chelsea player? Sorry.
No. It's one of the flagship kind of strikers in the league.
Haaland.
Well, Haaland's third at 21. Mo Salah's second with 24. Both way more than Jackson. And top is Ollie Watkins with 27.
Ollie Watkins, yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at the shot conversion rate, Jackson's shot conversion rate is 13%, where the others are basically all 20. That's where he's really poor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Delap, Delap, I can't see anywhere on this list. So his shot conversion rate must be, yeah, Leon Delap is, well, his shot conversion rate is a lot better than Jackson. He only missed 10 big chances last year, like basically half of Jackson, so that's promising.
Yeah, but he's playing, you know, for Ipswich, so the comparisons are very difficult.
Yeah, but shot conversions are a lot better, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, he will get a lot more chances as playing for Chelsea. That's just the fundamentals, so.
Yeah.
It's whether, you know, like I say, it's whether he can keep that up. Obviously, they'll be harder because, you know, for Ipswich, I'm sure those chances are in sort of free-flowing attacking football. Chelsea's going to be mostly low block, so it is a different animal, and they come in different ways. You know, they're only qualified by their XG, I think, or so. Right, warming up. What have you got for me?
This player nearly went into boiling hot, but I'm going to put him in warming up because I just had to put another player in boiling hot. It's Reece James.
I think
the one word I'd just say is impact. He just has an impact on the team again. There was a time for a while when he was getting back on, you know, getting back to his feet, getting back to fitness, where he was just kind of there, almost like a ghost-like version of himself, kind of a bit of, not of a wash version, but like a kind of, you know, B-Tech Reece James, but he was actually him, you know? It's like, now you're seeing him again. And maybe Reece James 2.0, where he isn't marauding up and down the wing anymore, but he's bringing other things. A big one is leadership, and just so much more presence on the pitch. And obviously the goal was fantastic, and he got us a point again. I mean, he got us a point against Bournemouth as well. People forget that 2-2. I mean, that could have been huge in the Champions League, the Champions League race. So, you know, if we lose that game, maybe you lose the next one or whatever. So moments like that, at the time, we was like, well, we've just got a draw in that game. But that free kick he got against Bournemouth as well was really important. So, yeah, it was a fantastic free kick. He said, you know, he saw the goalkeeper. He was looking at the goalkeeper. Trubin had a very good game, to be fair to him. Good goalkeeper. But he got caught out there. And, yeah, just presence. I mean, not even his overall stats in this game. Just he's taking corners, 9 passes into the final third, just way more involved in the match. Yeah, he's just, I'm not saying he's back, but at the moment, I think there's an Athletic piece saying about a month or two ago, does he get in the best Chelsea 11? And you have to say now, yes, he does. So I'm not going to say he's back or anything, because obviously form and injury, and especially injury, are a real thing with him. But yeah, he's showing a lot more of his old self, and maybe bring in some new attributes as well.
Yeah, I think he's excellent. I thought you said he's getting in the... He's starting for the like the best all-time Chelsea 11. I was like, slow down.
Because a lot of people are saying that does he even get in the best 11 now that you could maybe put...
I think, yeah.
Inverted right back and then have Enzo and Lavia, I think.
Well, I think if Reece James is inverting into midfield, I think he's absolutely shocking. I mean, that stinker he put against Flamengo, I mean, that was a car crash performance from him. But right back, right centre back, kind of two roles. Obviously, we know how well he did at right centre back under Tuchel and learning that role. He's become a bit of a master in that role, and he is outstanding when he plays. Like you say, fitness is an issue. You don't know when he's going to pop. And there's always a chance that he's going to pop. Sometimes you just sort of see him, you know, get into a tackle or something. You see him wincing, and you do fear the worst sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, famous last words, but you do, he has, I remember he got absolutely crunched against Man United. I mean, I was actually at the game, and we were all at the game. The 1-0 at home, where he got that assist afterwards. He got crunched and he looked bad. And he was just down for 5 minutes. You think, oh, right, he's done. He's got up. Like, it's just that little bit of just, I don't know, he seems to be over that, what I sometimes call like Damien Duff syndrome. I remember when Damien Duff got injured, and I think he interviewed afterwards that he never felt the same again, because he wouldn't go into tackles 100%. He wouldn't quite go for it because he was scared of getting injured again. He does seem to have got over the fact that he was injured. For a long time, I think he just seems mentally there. And when it comes to an injury, I think that's the number one thing. So I'm not saying, I mean, he could go and get injured against Palmeiras, and obviously the American pitches are not the best, but bad on the knees and whatnot. But he does seem to be more rigid and solid, I'd say.
Yeah, and I do think there's a case of, obviously, when he's probably doing his exercising in terms of like recovery and stuff, he would have been doing, you know, sprint training and stuff. And I think the role's quite suited to that, where he's just doing shuttle sprints, basically, you know, to get back and stuff. And he's quite easy you know, light jogging basically in the other areas, because he's not really being pushed like a Cucurella to be like running up and down like headless chicken. So I think it suits him quite nicely. Yeah, but yeah, great performance and an amazing goal. Amazing goal. Warming up for me was I'm going to put Romeo Lavia. I think obviously I don't think anyone had a particularly good game the other day, but I think his presence in midfield in this game was very apparent. I love his vertical passing. It's unbelievably good. Probably, and people don't appreciate how difficult this is. Like, I think there's a good quote from Guardiola about playing football with courage. What that means is, when you have the ball, it's easy to pass the ball sideways, backwards. I call it the Danny Drinkwater way of playing, where you kind of get the ball, zip it back to your centre-back, jog over to the other side, get it. You know, anyone can do that. But when you have the ball and you see someone in a tight space and you really like laser it into that area accurately, in a difficult space, those passes can make the big difference, because you take people out of the game. And he's so good at it. And in this game, he was electric. He's so accurate. He's so good at like duels, really high duel percentage winner. He's good in the air. Obviously, we know how good he is at tackling. And yeah, I think he had two chances that he created in this game too. So I think like he can, and he also made a big chance. He can do the complete midfield job. He's another one like Reece, who's, you never know when he's going to pop. But I got to say, this guy is one of the best players we could have bought in the position that we've got him in. I mean, we're so lucky to have him and Caicedo. I genuinely think, you know, I said it last season to you guys when I watched them in pre-season together for that Man City game. Era-defining midfield is what I described it as last year in pre-season. And I stick by it. I think these two are going to be the face of the Chelsea midfield. He's keeping them fit, but elite.
No, he is. He's a fantastic player. And I always remember there was a game a couple of years ago, you might remember it, where Arsenal, one of the many times Arsenal stuffed up the league, not stuffed up, but the year they were really going for it, and they drew 3-3 of Southampton at home. And Lavia was playing then. And I was thinking, wow, I'd love Chelsea to get him. And then they got him. I mean, he is an unbelievable player. I mean, there are some players like Caicedo and Lavia in particular where, you know, you get used to them playing for us, but they are incredible players. He kind of, I'm often watching a football match and you're watching it from a helicopter view, obviously, and the ball comes into him and you just see that if the player had the ability or the hindsight to shuffle 45 degrees and 90 degrees, they could progress through the pitch. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of players don't do that. They're a bit safe. They go back. He doesn't do that. He almost has this like pivot 360 action, like just fluid thing where he can just basically just look around, like almost like peripheral vision. Him and Caicedo are similar like that. And when you've got players who can break the lines, and with low blocks and mid blocks, it is all about breaking the lines. He's incredible at that. He's also a little bit of a hustler. He can win the ball back. He's not like Caicedo. He's not a destroyer like that in any sense, but he has got a bit of bite about him as well. And yeah, I mean, he's an incredible player. But it's just, you know, he's a hologram until he isn't. He's got to show us 10 games in a row, but I think if he did show 10 games in a row, he'd get 8 or 9 good ones. So he's a really good player. But Liverpool were in for him hot. And look, we were lucky. I mean, Liverpool were in for Caicedo and Lavia hot. And Liverpool don't really miss with their recruitment. So we just got in ahead of them, and that's the way it was.
Yeah. And look, it costs a lot of money, these players. But, you know, that there's a reason why. And one thing I love, you know, including Caicedo, is press resistance is insane.
Yeah.
Like, and they can dribble. They can dribble past people. You know, something that we don't really see from the attackers, ironically. So, yeah, I love these two. I genuinely think they're going to be next gen for us. Like, we'll be talking about them in, you know, 5-10 years about how good they are. And they'll be, like, in conversations about, if they stay, I hope they do, and if they stay fit, I think they'll be in like the elite conversations maybe in the future, you know, maybe 15 years from now. Who knows? So young still.
Yeah, I mean, incredible player.
Right. The big one, Boiling Hot.
Boiling Hot, I mean, I'm not going to wait until you say yours and I'm going to give a special mention for a player we haven't mentioned yet, but I had to give it to Caicedo.
Yeah.
He had 10 recoveries in this game and 20 passes into the final third. I mean, I know it's 120 minutes, but I mean, oh my God. This guy's unbelievable. I mean, he got booked as well. And you think he's not going to play the next
one,
game.
That was the one blotch on his game,
yeah,
wasn't it?
You think that he's going to put his head down, or maybe he might be a bit of a red card risk. But he got booked. I can't remember when he got booked. When did he get booked? He got booked in the 61st minute, so after an hour. So he played an hour after that in the match. Got back booked halfway through his performance. Didn't affect him. Still crunched in. Was sensible in that sense. Got an assist. If he was playing FPL, he'd have two assists because he would have got an assist for that in Nkunku goal as well because he took the shot. and he got an actual assist for the Neto goal. Yeah, it's an incredible performance. He can shoot. He had a couple of long-range shots where I think a long-range cutter where it actually troubled the keeper. I mean, he's just a wonderful player. And he'll be sorely missed in the quarterfinal. But if we do get through, it might be a bit of a blessing because he'll have 2 weeks off or whatever it is, 10 days off. And it means that we can maybe reshuffle the attack a bit because only Enzo and Lavia are there. But it'd be a massive miss. But I don't mind him having 10 days off, man. He is, like, you know, the cowboy named Cotton Wool Caicedo. I mean, he's much more important than Palmer now. I can say that. I mean, that's mad to say, but I would much rather Cole Palmer was out for 5-10 games than was Caicedo. I mean, that is a huge statement to say, but that's how
I feel. I completely agree. I think we're at that level now. I think he is the best player in the team.
I think he's one of the best players in the world, to be honest. I don't really see... Look, I don't... You know, I'm very English in that sense. I don't watch enough of the other leagues to be educated. I should watch more. Obviously, I watch Champions League, but I don't watch enough of the Liga. I just don't have the time and whatever, Serie A and Liga and all these, and Bundesliga, but I can't think of many better defensive midfielders in the world right now. He is incredible. And he's still tarred by the price tag. If he was 40, 50 million quid, people would be banging on about it. That he's incredible. Because he's got a big price tag, he gets underrated, and that's fine by us because we don't mind that, but he is unbelievable footballer. And
I don't think anyone in football is probably underrating him, to be fair. I think everyone in football knows. I think there's a lot of people who don't watch Chelsea, pundits and stuff and fans, and they still have this image. I still think it's drilled into people's heads from that West Ham game where he was sent off and gave away... Did he get sent off or gave away the penalty in the first game? Or did he just give away the penalty?
Maybe got sent off, but gave away the penalty.
Yeah, it was like a nightmare game, and people then have just sort of like said, oh yeah, you know, not up to it, that kind of thing, but they just haven't watched any other game maybe. I agree, I think he's one of the best players in Europe, in the world. I think he's got every attribute you could possibly want. Yeah, he was my boiling hot, obviously.
Yeah, if he's a boiling hot, there is a player I think has been improving a lot. And I wasn't really aware to put him in attempt because he was more than warming up, but maybe not quite boiling hot. It's Levi Colwill. He has really been improving lately as well. Really growing into his stature, kind of filling out as a personality, kind of as a man. Really aggressive. And I'm looking forward to him for Fofana's back. I think they're going to be a really good partnership because they're kind of yin and yang in that sense. They kind of seesaw really well together. But Levi Colwill, he played 120 in this. Well, played basically 120. Ansel Mino came on for his debut, gave him a 2-minute rest. But yeah, I mean, he was incredible. I mean, considering that these players were out of it for 2 hours. And obviously, we have to caveat that we haven't even spoken about this. Benfica got a red card, which obviously had a big effect. I think we would have beaten him in extra time anyway. I think we were ready to beat them.
I don't know about that. I felt they were on the ascendancy.
I think they've run out of puff, to be honest. I think they've run out of puff versus Bayern. They didn't really seem to offer anything in this game, to be honest. They're making quite defensive substitutions, and I think we would have been okay, to be honest. Maybe, you know, you never know. Obviously, looking at it with the Gusto handball and then they get a last-minute penalty. But even in the first 5 minutes of the... or whenever he got sent off, I didn't see them have like a big energy. I think we would have been okay. Maybe not, but ultimately. You would never know. But Levi Colwill as well. really progressing as a player in this team.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I agree. I couldn't really, didn't really know how to put him. He was definitely on my list. He was so many kind of really nice aerial duels that I saw him win in. I think his passing was better in this game than it has been before as well, which is good because, you know, we've seen all those Colwell passing comps.
Yeah.
But not kind of yet to really materialise in the games I've watched, but he was slightly better in this game. I'd like to see him still improve in that area because I've seen him be very, very good, maybe in a arguably a better system at Brighton when he was playing there where they were very disciplined. So that might improve with time when we sort of sort our system out fully. But yeah, he was really great. Another little shout out to Neto, who got another goal, and he's been a shining light in the Club World Cup for us.
You've always loved Neto. I've always been a bit sceptical of his... There was an FPL quote there. Sometimes he's been a bit all fart, no poo, which basically he's a good player, but maybe not much end product. But he's got 3 in 3 games, or whatever it is, and look, he's showing... He's had 3 1-on-1s, where sometimes he maybe wouldn't back him to score, and traditionally, maybe a couple months ago, and he's putting it in. So, man, Neto's the right winger at the moment. I mean, he's playing against Palace unless something dramatic happens. So, no, fair play to him. I'm always happy to be wrong about players, but yeah, it'd be great if Neto just got more goals. And I think he said himself recently that he could give more, you know, and it was his first season, so maybe I was getting a little bit right.
Noticeable difference between people on the pitch, but there's a good lesson in football for everyone. That's if you work hard, you get results. And Neto is a very, very hard worker, and it'll always pay off for him. There's people who kind of just mope about and throw their hands up in the air and like expect things to happen for them, but diligent, hard working, and I think he, you know, you get your just desserts in that sense, and I'm happy for him.
He is a workhorse in that sense, no doubt.
Right. Well, that concludes the game. Moving on to the fun bits, we enjoyed a double Here We Go from Romano in successive days. One on the day of the game, we got Jamie Gittins, 55 mil. We'll talk about him in a bit, and then Joao Pedro the next day. It was like Christmas had come at once. So let's start with Gittins. 12 goals, 5 assists in all comps last season. Where do we see Gittins? Is this a good signing? Is this a ready to go? Is this an unknown? What do you think?
I don't think he's going to leave yet. no, I was listening to the London Blue Pod, and Nick on there said he's not a needle changer, I think, or I said a needle mover, and I'm more of a needle. He doesn't. Same with me, he doesn't shift the needle, whatever you want to say that term involving a needle. I think what they've done is basically just bought players who are similar to what they have. I don't see Joao Pedro or Gittins as massive upgrades. I think we have just bulked out the squad and we're a lot more solid now. I think Gittins, look, the main thing about him is that the other players aren't happy. He has goals and experience in the Champions League. But his numbers and his stats are pretty similar to what we have, really. I think we probably overpaid for him a little bit. I think Dortmund were very, very tough negotiators. To pay that much for a 20-year-old is a lot. He isn't a superstar or anything like that. So, yeah, but I think, you know, he'll be an upgrade on Sancho. You probably can say that pretty confidently. Hopefully.
That's the replacement, I guess, in the structure.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically Sancho's replacement. People don't really realise that. I mean, if Sancho stayed, I think they probably would have... I don't think they would have bought Gittins and Joao Pedro. I haven't watched much football beyond the Premier League and the Champions League, so I haven't watched a lot of his play. You see some clips, and he's got a lot of pace, a lot of dynamism. Compared to Madueke, he's got kind of more shot-creating actions. He can kind of do things more for himself a little bit, more of like an independent player. He doesn't need as much link-up, but I have to wait and see. I don't think he's going to be... I think it might take a little bit of time to bed in. First, in the Premier League, much higher intensity. Obviously, he's a City Academy graduate, which either that or Brighton players seem to be the only players who seem to buy these days. But what do you think of him? I'm a bit on the fence with him.
I think of him. I watched Jamie Gittins actually in the Champions League last year. I watched a few, I think one or two games with him playing. I happened to watch the game that he scored in. I checked him because I hadn't really heard of him before. And I looked him up. I watched him play. I thought he was excellent in the game because he's very direct.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, one thing that we picked up from him, and this was in the stats at the end of the season, if you look at the big five European leagues, his XG from take-ons is 1.69 on average, and his XA, expected assists from take-ons, is 2.34. So combined, it's 4.03. That's second in the entire big five European leagues, only second to Mbappe, who had 4.18 because his XG from take-ons is 3.42. So he's you know, in that list, we're talking Vinny Jr., Ekitike, Salah, Marmoush, Wirtz, Liao Yamal, Minte from Brighton, who I think is actually really good. So he's in good company in that sense. Do I think he's better than Sancho? Having watched Sancho for a lot, I would say yes. I think he's a better build than Sancho as well, and he's very athletic. Do I think this is a good signing? I do. I do think this is a good signing. I think this is a really tough area to get a good player in. I would have preferred Nico Williams, but it looks like he just doesn't want to go out of Spain. So. And he wants extortionate wages. So I think Barca are trying to get that deal done. But yeah, I think that's kind of dead in the water for us. So yeah, I really like the signing. I'm looking forward to watching him play. I think he'll surprise people. I think, will he be the best player in the league in that position? Maybe in the future. I don't think he'll be the best player in that position next season, though. I'd be surprised. But it depends if Chelsea sign a striker or not. I don't know. I think there's a lot to like about him, though. I really do. But you just don't know from the Bundesliga, do you? We've been stung so many times.
I mean, he's just watched his face. I mean, let's say he starts against Palace, or you just don't know what you're going to expect. You just don't know what to expect. It could go either way. This is such a lazy thing to say. All signings are like that, but I have a real idea what he's going to be like. I think, you know, I don't think he'd be a starter at the start. I think he probably will do something else. I think he didn't start Neto at first, did he? Kind of brought him in. I think
Maresca. Well, that's because he was injured, I think, wasn't it?
Maresca is always very, very. He's doing it at Santos. He's always very cautious with new players. You almost have to earn it. Like, you very rarely just go into the team. I know Delap has, but that's mainly because he's not really the only other option. I mean, Pedro, when we move on to Joao Pedro. Similar copy and paste opinion for me. I think he's a decent player. I think you've got to be a little bit aware of his goal stats. Like, you know, he's only got 5 non-penalty league goals each in the last 2 seasons, so 10 total. I've had a look at his numbers, and his stats aren't really anywhere near Jackson's in terms of like off the ball runs and things like that, and just general data. And he's also a player where very talented, but where are you going to put him? And I think sometimes they can be a little bit like Nkunku. Talented player, where'd you put him? So it's not like, you know, Gittins is left winger, you put him left wing. Delap's number 9, you put him in a 9. We all, you know, there's already like loads of stuff online. Where does Pedro go? And TalkSport, they're debating it. I haven't got a clue where he's going to go. And that can be a gift, but also a curse for a player. So I have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think Pedro again. So he can actually play at the Club World Cup for us. Because we can just register him. I think it's like the Premier League in that sense. You can just sort of register the team before the game, right? The
deadline is in 2 days.
So
yeah,
he's 55 million, so very similar to Gittins. This is a more proven signing because you know what you're getting and he's Premier League ready. So you're basically like in the realms of Neto. You know exactly the type of player you're getting. You know how he works in a system. Our signings from Brighton have actually been pretty good for the most part. I think this will be a better signing than people realise. I think he'll play where, if you look at the sort of game that we just played, I think in that Enzo spot is a good area for him. I think he played there for Brighton. He kind of links quite nicely with the midfield. We've seen him do that for Brighton. And I think he's going to surprise people because he's actually fairly good at dribbling. He's quite skillful. Yeah, I think this will be a better signing than people realise. I think people will criticise the signing because he's not like a well-known name, right? You don't consider him like one of the best players in Europe. I think he kind of reminds me of kind of like a Firmino, but don't know, like he's like very skillful and very good at like linking the play up and stuff. Not in the sense of like finishing, and although he's quite nifty at penalties apparently. But yeah, I think he's going to be like a linking player. But we'll see. You know, I think he's going to be the sort of replacement for Nkunku, isn't he? I think when he leaves. So we've got sort of Sancho gone, Gittins in, and I think Nkunku's going to go, isn't he? So Pedro looks like the signing they've made for him, where he's kind of like a bit of a alternate 10, 9, 8 to a certain extent. We've seen him play like in midfield for Brighton. And I think he can play on the left wing as well. He can kind of do a bit of everything. So, yeah. Good, I think a good pickup. Price is difficult for him because I think you pay a bit more for experience. So I'm fairly happy with that. I think Gittins overvalued for me, definitely.
Does it push our attack from like sorry to interrupt? Does it push our attack from very good, which it is now, to elite? Not sure.
I don't think it's very good now.
I think when you look at the numbers, I know you don't like it, but you look at the Premier League season. I think we're like third or fourth for XG. So we have got a very good attack. I mean, people don't like...
But most of the goals were like Palmer at the beginning of the season. Like, we really struggled to score goals from December onwards.
Yeah.
But as soon as Palmer dropped off, it felt like really hard. It was like pulling blood from a stone scoring goals.
Yeah. I think, let's say good attack. Does it put us from a good attack or potentially a good attack to an elite attack? I'd say no. I think now... You can say now, though, if Gittins gets injured, then we're still fine. I think you can say that if three players out of the nine get injured, we'll still be fine. I think you can say that, which is a really good thing. And I think we've got a lot of games, obviously, Champions League. Hopefully, we'll go deep in that. You know, hopefully, we get a run in one of the domestic cups. That'd be nice, depending on the draw, obviously. And yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to give out a lot of minutes. But, you know, there's a lot of... You got Estevao, Willian, João Pedro... Gittins.
I think Estevao Willian is not really good. I'd be surprised if he's going to feature too much.
Yeah, but that's the beginning. What I'm saying is like Delap. All these players are a bit. I mean, go from Estevao basically being a complete unknown to a bit of an unknown. We don't know how Delap's going to be. You don't know how Delap. You don't know. I mean, we know what he's like in the league.
Well, we know Delap from the Premier League. We know Pedro from the Premier League.
We know he's an English player. We know it doesn't work like that. He doesn't plug and play. It just doesn't work like that at Chelsea.
But it's much better than signing them from, well, I know Gittins from the Bundesliga, but the Bundesliga, historically, we've bought people and they all look good.
There's still a lot of what if or, you know, uncertainty about the attack. And, you know, we got 64 league goals last season. I think this year you need... I mean, Arsenal only got 69, to be fair, and City only got 72. But really, to be challenging Liverpool or anywhere near second, third, you need 75 goals. So we probably need 10, 11 more goals. Where are they going to come from? So that's not saying we can't get that, but that was also Jackson, obviously, sorry, with Palmer getting 15. So they've all got a chip in.
We'll play the game again. Right, penalty. Champions League final or Premier League to win the Premier League last game of the season, last minute, last kick of the game. Do you trust Delap to score it?
Sure, but
that's a big thing.
Do I trust him to get 15 league goals next year? Maybe not.
But João Pedro, do you trust him to score it?
He is good at penalties, but that's the only reason I'd say
but,
yes.
You know, this we've turned from people like Jackson Madueke, who you wouldn't trust.
I don't trust
these people in this spot.
We can bring Madueke in. I don't really see how we know that you know Gittins is going to be better than Madueke because they're very, very similar. That's why it's very similar in terms of numbers. But so
my take on Madueke is, do you think Madueke is going to be the best winger in the league?
I think he does have higher ceiling, to be honest. You're asking the wrong person. I think Madueka. I think that's why Arsenal are after him, because I don't think he will, but I think he has high ceiling. I think he's got like a very low floor as well, though. I think he could end up being a complete dud at some point because of his attitude, and not his attitude, just I can see his career petering out, but I can also just see him having a high ceiling because he has got a lot of good attributes, don't he, Madueka? Now, you alluded to earlier, I think, without naming him, that maybe he doesn't work hard enough and he throws his hands up in the air. Maybe Gittins does that. We don't know. I mean, Craig said that Gittins sounds like a very intelligent lad and he's got his head on his shoulders. Have you heard Noni Madueka in an interview? I mean, he's the most eloquent and diligent speaker I've maybe ever heard for Chelsea. He's incredible in interviews, but in the pitch, he's a bit of a brat. So you don't know. It's all fantasy football until it's not. And so João Pedro has definitely got a red card in him. He's got he's got a bit of bite about him. You can put a bad challenge in. So we'll have to wait and see.
I think for me, you know, when I think of Chelsea historically, I always think of, you know, really strong team, really annoying to play. You'd hate to play against Chelsea because they're big, they're strong, they're powerful, and they make you sort of really, I think they make it really difficult for you in very ugly games. You know, Mourinho made that about us. I think when you watch Chelsea now, there's a lot of players who kind of wince like that. Flamengo game is a great example of the sort of, I mean, they call them like wet wipes.
They don't wince. They don't do it the right way. They'll get sent off rather than bully a player. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're not smart enough.
Yeah, they don't know how to get a yellow and then, some of them don't know how to get a yellow and then just keep on a yellow and then just stay in the battle.
You've got to get rid of people like that. Like, I think Madueke is a prime example of if you went into a big game and it's a bit physical, he's just going to fold like a deck of cards. Same with Jackson. They don't have enough about them, in my opinion.
They have other attributes. They have other things.
Yeah, but that's not enough. Like, it's like you can't just be good at football. There's loads of stuff that goes with it. And I just don't think they've got it. And I think Madueke is going to be sold.
We should have a conversation about these players at Christmas, because I just think by Christmas, you know what you have. At the moment with Pedro and look, it's really exciting when you get the here you go, you get a little dopamine hit and it's fun. But when the dust settles, I have no idea how Joe Pedro and Gittins.
I don't think it's about whether they're better or not. It's about the fact that they're, you know, there's a chance they might be better, right?
Yeah, but that's...
Because even if they're not, you just sell them and buy the next person.
Yeah, I think Chelsea at this point are always going to make buyers. They're not going to buy a player who's going to be a dud or anything, but just West waiting. So I just have to wait and see. Especially with Pedro, I think he really, really likes to play 10. He was really good in the 10 when Danny Welbeck was in the 9. He ain't going to get many minutes in the 10, so I'll tell you that now. So at the start of the season, so he's on the bench a couple games. You don't know how it's going to affect players. So we have to just wait and see how it goes. Maresca is also very, very slow introducing new players. I don't think João Pedro will really get any minutes in the Club World Cup. Maybe the odd... When they get deep, I don't think he'll be used. So
I think he will be. I think he really wants to play him.
I think he's just there to train, to be honest. I would probably say that even if we make the final, we get less than an hour. I just don't think he'll be used, personally. But that's mostly.
Okay. Right. Well, that wraps things up for us today. Obviously, the next game is Saturday. It's a really horrible, horrible time for us. It's actually 2 a.m. on Saturday, so it's Friday night, theoretically.
Why are you going to stay up?
I'm going to try. I'm going to do what I did last time and just sort of like... It's so hard. It's between like half midnight and 2. I just don't know what to do. If you watch a movie, you're going to fall asleep. So... Yeah, I don't know. I'll try.
Tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. What do you think? What's your prediction?
I think it'll be a physical game. They're very physical, Palmeiras. They'll get about us. They'll kick us. There might be the narrative with, well, obviously, Estevao can play versus us. I think we'll get through, though. There's something about the way the draw's lining up. I mean, we should probably talk about really quickly about the route to the final. If we beat Palmeiras, then we would have Fluminense or Al Hilal in the semi, and then... You would basically, the way the draw is, if Chelsea get to the final, they're either going to play Bayern, PSG, or Real Madrid, one of them, because they're all going to face each other at some point. They're actually facing each other.
Through, yeah.
Sorry?
We don't know. Real Madrid have got to play Juventus today.
It's very, I'd say it's likely to be one of PSG, Bayern or Madrid. Maybe a Juventus or an outside shot. But, I mean, there are a lot of upsets in the competition, as we've seen. But, you know, we've actually got a good chance of making the final. It's more about the money. We've made 40 million. I think if you make the final, you get 80, 90 million. I mean, you just pay for Pedro and... Not that it works like that, but you make nearly 100 million revenue. Incredible. It'd be great to win the thing, but it's just basically just... At this point, you get at least 10, 15 million for going through each round. So, yeah, just get through and get some cash.
Yeah. Right. Well, like you say, it's going to be hopefully a good route to the final, but we've got to overcome Palmeiras first. So what do you think? Score prediction, please.
2-1 Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea. I think without Caicedo, I think Chelsea maybe go for on penalties. I'll go for 1-1 with a penalty win.
Drama.
And a
5-hour delay.
5-0.
And a 5-hour delay for a tornado.
That's it. Yeah.
So we're up to like 10 a.m. UK time.
Yeah, maybe a volcano will erupt or something.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much, Brady.
No problem.
Cool. Right. We will be back, regardless of the result, to talk about the Palmeiras game next week. But that's all we've got time for today. For more updates on all things CSCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.